Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, and I'm going to be reading verses 3 through 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption to Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in heaven, things in heaven and things on earth. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the proclamation of His Word. Father, would You fill me with Your Spirit? Would You speak to Your people about how wonderful it is, the blessings we have because we belong to You? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When the pilgrims arrived safely in Provincetown Harbor on November 2nd, 1620, William Brewster led them in Psalm 100, as a psalm of thanksgiving. During the next few months, as they explored and they found the place to live, and as they endured the first winter, it was very difficult. Over half of the pilgrims died that year. The pilgrims who had ventured to America in search of religious freedom, who had gone from England because they were persecuted there to Holland, but never quite fit in there, and then decided to take a chance and migrate to the new world, they came to find the freedom to worship God in the way that they thought He wanted to worship Him. But it was difficult. It was very difficult, especially those first few years. The second winter, they met a Native American named Squanto. And Squanto had been captured and kind of made a slave, and then some Catholic friars in Spain had somehow negotiated his release, and he got back to England and learned English and found his way back to the New World. But when he found his way back to the New World, his village had been wiped out by some disease. Many say maybe smallpox. But when Squanto met the pilgrims, he befriended them and helped them to learn some of the farming methods of the Native Americans there. And so the second year, they had a pretty good harvest. Governor William Bradford declared a celebration of thanksgiving to thank God for the harvest and for bringing them through this second winter. Now, our cynical generation might have thought, why are you thanking God at all? Over half of you died, and you've gone through all this hardship. You still have to work at least five more years just to pay off the price of the passage to the New World. But the pilgrims understood something about life that we need to understand today. The pilgrims were people with a deep and abiding faith in Christ. They knew that God had blessed them and that all blessings were from God, but they knew that not only had God blessed them materially in the giving of a good crop, but that and surviving in the New World, but they also knew that He had blessed them with blessings that cannot be seen or counted. He had blessed them with what the Apostle Paul calls in Ephesians chapter 1, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, often we come to times of thanksgiving and we concentrate on thanking God for the material things that He has given us, such as life and health and food and clothing and shelter and family and other things that we can count and see. And we should thank God for these things because the Scripture declares to us every good and perfect gift is from above. But we also need to understand that these material blessings are nothing compared to the spiritual blessings we have because Christ has saved us. They're nothing compared to what we have in Christ Jesus. The spiritual blessings that come to those who believe, to those who have been born again, to those who call on the name of the Lord and ask Him to save him are far more valuable than life's material blessings. This passage of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 1, the perfect Word of God, teaches us that we as believers can continually thank God for the blessing of being saved. We as believers can continually thank God for the blessing of being saved. I want you to notice in this passage in Ephesians this morning, I'm not gonna spend a lot of time, but I just want you to notice a couple things about it. First of all, these spiritual blessings are located in a place and in a person. First of all, they're located in a place in heaven, in the heavenly realms, Paul says. These spiritual blessings are located for us in heaven. We can praise God that these abundant spiritual blessings are located for us in a place where they can never be taken and they can never be corrupted. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves cannot break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." No one can take these blessings from us because they are located in heaven. They are located in a safe and secure place. Now, Paul lists some of these spiritual blessings. First, he says we are chosen in Jesus Christ to be holy and blameless in His sight. Now, none of us is blameless. Are you blameless? I'm not blameless. Are you blameless? None of us is blameless. But God sees those who believe through the filter of the blood of Jesus. And so as He looks at you and as He looks at me as believers, He sees us as blameless. The blood of Jesus is covering our sins. And so we are holy and blameless in His sight. And then He tells us that we're predestined to be adopted as sons. Now, I'm not going to try to explain all that. I don't know if any of us can really get a handle on all that that means, but I do understand some things. God initiates salvation. You didn't even know you were lost and you needed to be saved. God came looking for you. And as a pastor in Iowa, our church was kind of an adoption church. One of the families in our church adopted 10 kids. Another adopted 3 or 4, and many people were adopted in the church in Iowa. The one thing I understood is that parents get to choose. They choose their children. And so God is the initiator, is the one who saves us. We can't save ourselves. He's got to do it. And so He predestined us to be adopted as sons. There's an old chorus. It's old now, it used to not be old, but it was a song, and it says, "He did not wait for us to draw near to Him, but He clothed Himself in frail humanity. He didn't wait for us to cry out to Him, but He let me hear His voice. He let me hear His voice calling me." Isn't that the way it is? You see, God calls us His sons, and I want you to notice, it uses the word sons there. And it's not saying daughters aren't included, but in the first century, the sons had certain rights as sons. If you were a son, you had inheritance rights. And so all of us, every believer, male and female, are called to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. We have the rights that sons would have. We have the rights of inheritance, even if we are daughters. The Scripture's saying. So we are predestined to be adopted as sons. Thirdly, in this passage, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of our trespasses. God purchased us for Himself through the blood of Jesus. That was the purchasing price. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, "Don't you know that you were bought at a price?" It was a high price. The price that your redemption, the price that enabled God to forgive you for your sins and me for my sins was the very blood of Jesus. In the blood of Jesus, we have forgiveness of our sins. There's not one sin that we have ever committed that will not be forgiven through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad about that? You ever done anything bad in your life? I hope you haven't done anything too bad, but all of us have done things we don't even want anybody else to know about, right? The things, and no matter what you've done, the blood of Jesus is greater than your sin. I don't care if you've committed murder. You know, Dave is working with prisoners in Oregon, and I used to go to the federal medical center and volunteer as a worker in the prison there. And some of the guys I worked with had committed murder. But they understood that God could forgive them. And they had accepted and received God's forgiveness. You know, some people say, man, I've done things horribly. You know, I've heard about men that have come back from war and they just think God can't forgive them. And I want you to know there's no sin that you committed that is greater than the blood of Jesus. Your sins can be forgiven. And I'm glad I can tell that to anybody too. I'm glad I can look any man, any woman, any child in the eye and say, your sins are not greater than Jesus' blood. He will forgive you if you will put your faith and trust in Him. Redemption is through the blood of Jesus. Nothing else will wash away your sin. That's why even an eternity and separated from God in hell would not wash away your sin. It's only Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood or nothing else works. And so we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Fourthly, He mentions that we've been let in on the mystery of God. Now, you know, we think of mystery like mystery novels. You know, you find out how it ends at the end. I kind of like mystery things. I know Carla likes mystery things. But really, that's really not where it's getting at when it uses that term mystery in the New Testament. It's talking about something that was once hidden, but now is revealed. It was once hidden, but now it's revealed. The mystery that was once hidden and now is revealed is that God is going to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, Jesus Christ. Jew, Gentile, Greek, barbarian, all things, God, everything is going to come and He is going to be King of kings and Lord of lords over everything. Over everything. He will reign forever and ever. As we talked about a few weeks ago, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, that's the mystery it's talking about. And so it lists some of these blessings that are ours in heaven because we are saved. There's a lot of other spiritual blessings that he doesn't mention in this passage. Paul tells us in another place, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And the scripture says, we already have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the blessing of being His witnesses and telling others and praising and worshiping Him. You know, just to be with the saints of God, the ages, as we worship here, and our brothers and sisters around the world are worshiping too, adoring the great God. What a blessing that is. You know, if you're not a Christian, you don't think that's a blessing, but I'm telling you, it's a blessing. And that's just a short list. I don't have time to list all the blessings that are ours because we are saved, because we belong to Jesus. And those blessings that are ours in a safe place. You know, the scripture says, it uses the aorist tense in the Greek. And the aorist tense means it's something that God has already given you. It's not that He's going to give you. He's already given it to you. He's done it once and it's done. So He's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. They're already ours. And they're kept safe for us. All material blessings we have can be taken from us at any time. Do you realize that? We have no guarantee of life tomorrow. We have no guarantee of health or property. Sometimes people get mad at God because they think when their health goes bad, they say, why did you do this to me? God doesn't guarantee you a life of perfect health. all the stuff that we have, even our families, that can be taken from us, snatched from us. But these blessings can never be taken from us. These spiritual blessings that are ours because we are saved. They're kept in a safe place for us. They're kept in heaven for us. I read about a group of believers that are meeting in a hostile environment. And some wicked men came into the church and they said, "You step on the cross or we're going to kill you." And it said that every believer in that small place, rather than deny Christ, died on that day. And there was one 11-year-old boy left. And there was a tinge of sympathy among these wicked men. And they said, "Little boy, if you just kind of step on this, we won't kill you." And the little boy lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Lord Jesus, you died for me and I'm willing to die for you." You see, he understood something that we didn't understand. These blessings are ours. And they can take our life, but they can't take what Jesus has given to us. Because they're kept for us in a safe place. You know, we think the day of persecution was back then. But I want to tell you, we're living in a day of persecution. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are suffering. You know, you've seen the pictures of ISIS and all the things that they've done to people just because they are Christians. But these brothers and sisters of ours know that they have blessings beyond this life that can never be taken from them. So not only are these blessings kept for us in a place, but they're connected to a person. They are found in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, they are ours only because and if we belong to Jesus. There are no spiritual blessings outside of Jesus. Not even one. The blessings are located not only in a place, but in a person. Paul uses the phrase "in Christ Jesus" or "in Jesus" or "in Christ" again and again and again. In Him, when he's referring to Jesus. He uses it again and again and again. And what it means is union, vital connection with Jesus. To be in Christ, for Him to live in you and for you to be in Him and for us together to be in Him. Every spiritual blessing, every single one are ours in Christ. Not just a few of them. He doesn't dole them out. Well, you know, Dave gets 3 and Bob gets 2. Every spiritual blessings are ours in Christ. But none are located outside of Him. None. You know, the Scripture is not just, it's not just a, you know, a crazy Christian idea that there's no other way of salvation except Jesus. That's what the Scripture teaches. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if you want spiritual blessings, if you want real blessings, you find them in and only in Jesus. In Him, we have every spiritual blessing. In Him, no blessing is denied. Because He died for us. He rose again. These blessings are located for us in Jesus. They're in Him. You know, during the early part of this century, the 20th century, H.L. Hunt Sr. discovered one of the richest oil fields in the continental United States. And when he discovered that, he mortgaged everything he could to buy that field because he knew if he got that one field, everything else materially that he wanted in life he would have. That's the way it is in Jesus. If you have Jesus, everything you need, everything that your heart desires, you have in Him. You know, I get tired of people talking about how we have to sacrifice to follow Jesus and how hard it is sometimes. I know it's difficult sometimes to live the Christian life, but I'm telling you, He is worth it. You think it's hard to live the Christian life? Just live outside of Jesus. And some of you will say amen to that because you know what I'm talking about. It's no sacrifice. Whatever we have to give up to follow Jesus, it's worth it. Because in Him is everything. Everything is in Jesus. I'm not talking about a creed, orthodoxy. I'm talking about in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, I believe we need to have good doctrine. But I'm telling you, good doctrine doesn't save you. Jesus does. Jesus does. Jesus saves. To believe in Him is to believe certain things about Him, but it's to believe in Him. If you have Jesus, you have everything. I read about a couple that died leaving a fabulous fortune. And so they were going to have an auction and auction their stuff off to the highest bidder. They had no heirs. Their only son had died many years before. And so they put all the stuff out and the auction began. The first item to be auctioned was a portrait of their son. The couple had stipulated that this was the first item auctioned off before any other item. Well, nobody really wanted to buy a portrait of their son. Would you want to buy a portrait of my son? So the bids were just kind of nothing. And finally, someone reluctantly made a bid of $15. And so the auctioneer, pounded the gavel and said, "Sold." And then the auctioneer told the crowd, "The auction's over." Well, the crowd said, "What do you mean? We came here to buy all this stuff." And they began to protest. But then the auctioneer explained. He said the couple had said in their will that whoever purchased the portrait of their son also received everything else. You see, the world only wants the stuff that God can give us. But we as believers understand when you have Jesus, you have everything. Everything that matters is found in Jesus. I know some of you out there might not believe me, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. Jesus is worth whatever it costs. And He loves you so much. You could never find that kind of love in anybody but Him. I love my wife, but I'm telling you, I don't love her like Jesus loves her. My love is imperfect and selfish. Not His. Nobody can love you like Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have everything. And so we have these blessings for us that are ours in Christ Jesus. And those are the things that we really need to be thankful for today. Years ago, a ship called the Lady Elgin was sinking off the port of Chicago in Lake Michigan. Two brothers who were seminary students were walking by and they saw the ship sinking. One of the brothers, Nat Spencer, was an expert swimmer. So he dove in the water and he began to swim toward the ship. People were amazed when he brought back a survivor. But then he went back again and again, and brought back other survivors. He did this over and over again until he had rescued 23 people. The remaining 300 people that were on that ship drowned. Well, because of the severe cold and the strain of the adventure, Nat Spencer became severely ill, and he spent the rest of his life as an invalid. The amazing part of this story is it's said that not one of the 23 people ever came to visit Nat or even send him a thank you note for saving their lives. You see, I'm telling you, Jesus has done for us
Way more than Nat Spencer did for those 23 people. He paid it all, didn't the songs say? All to Him I owe. I used to sing to my kids a little chorus, He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. I'm telling you, He died for you. He rose again. And every spiritual blessing, every real blessing is found in Him. And so we as His people need to live before Him thankfully, no matter what else is going on in our lives. Your life materially might not be what you want it to be. Your health might not be what you want it to be. But if you have Jesus, your soul is blessed. And you are blessed. And if you don't have Jesus, I don't care if you got the fortune of Steve Jobs had or the Microsoft guy, I can't even think of his name. You know, would you want to trade Jesus for his stuff? He has nothing, ultimately. If you don't know Him, you know, the thankfulness that He wants from you is to say, Lord, I want You to have my life today. You can have every spiritual blessing. It's so easy. It's so easy. It's scary. Because the Scripture says, if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Calling on the person of Jesus Christ to save you because He came to save you from your sin. He came to make you His child. He came to forgive your sin. And so if you've never called on Him and received Him, do it today. And if you know Him, don't let anything stop you from being His thankful follower. Father, we thank You for Your great love. And we pray that every day we would live before You with grateful hearts. Lord, it's so easy to focus on the other junk of the world, the stuff, and how our lives are going and our circumstances and our material things. But Lord, help us to thank You because You have done more for us than we could ever in all eternity thank You for. Help us to live in gratefulness to all that You've done. Lord, would You just speak to those, every person here, whatever is a specific need of their life. Lord, if they need to believe in You, to put their trust in You, Lord, I pray that they would do it today, even now as You speak to them. Father, if they become embittered, or they become focused on the stuff of this world, change that bitterness to forgiveness. Change that focus to eternity from this life. Do that in my life, oh God. Please always do that in my life. Lord, work and move and do what only You can do in our lives today. Lord, we don't just want to come and sing a few songs and hear Your word proclaimed. We want to be changed into the image of Jesus. We want to be different because we have been in Your presence. Make it so, oh God, in our lives. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.